This podcast is brought to you by Pearson Longman.
Hello, my name is JJ Wilson. I am a teacher, teacher trainer, and materials writer. I'm originally from London, although I now live in the United States. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about vocabulary. A lot of what I say is based on a famous quotation from Stephen Krashen, who said, "With lots of grammar and no vocabulary, students can say virtually nothing. But with lots of vocabulary and no grammar, you can say almost anything." That's one of my favorite quotes. The first thing I'd like to say about vocabulary is that students need to learn it in a context. And the more contexts, the better. Now, context is the best way to get to know a word, but what do we actually mean by knowing a word? Well, the first thing, I guess, is meaning. We must know what the word means, and the students need to write down a definition, possibly a translation, although we shouldn't use translation too often, of course. Other things they need to know: pronunciation of the word. For example, the stress. Which syllables are stressed? I read about one student who went up to his teacher and said something like, "I don't like comedy." Well, the teacher said, "Well, you don't like comedy, what, you don't find it funny?" And the student repeated, "No, I don't like comedy, because at work we are always put in comedy." Then the teacher realized that the student was trying to say committee, or committee in American English. It just shows one little shift of stress, one little mistake in stress can completely destroy the meaning of what you're trying to say. Actually, about 85% of content words, multisyllabic content words, are stressed on the first syllable, which is kind of useful to know. So the student was probably correct in guessing the pronunciation of committee as being comedy, but unfortunately was wrong in this case. Well, other things we need to know about words are the differences between spelling and sound. The student must be able to recognize words in connected speech. And this is often very difficult, of course, because of the irregular spelling of so many words in English. So, for example, vegetable. It looks as if it's vegetable, but it's pronounced vegetable. Psychology, of course, has a silent P. So students must be able to recognize the word when it's uttered in connected speech. Another aspect of knowing a word, of course, is register. Is it formal or informal? One of my students, a couple of years ago, on meeting me, greeted me with, "Hey, dude!" Well, that was all very nice, very friendly, but I taught him that that was extremely informal and probably not really appropriate. So we need to know the difference between "how do you do?" and "hey, dude." Okay, what else? Knowing a word, I think affixation is important. I have a little saying that one word is six words. So if you know the word happy, why not learn happily? Happiness. Why not learn the whole family? Other things about knowing a word: collocation. Which word does this word live with? So, for example, an effort, the verb we use is make an effort. A job, we use do a job. And, of course, we also need to know what words can't do. So, for example, we can say Merry Christmas, but we can't say Merry Birthday. Don't ask me why, it's just collocation. There is no logical explanation for it. Knowing what words can't do also encompasses idioms, little phrases. For example, it's a non-starter, but you cannot say it's a starter. You can say it's a no-hoper, or he's a no-hoper, but you cannot say he's a hoper. So those are all aspects of knowing a word. Now our students, of course, also need to remember words. I always say that it takes 1 minute to teach a word, and usually about 1 month, maybe 1 year, to actually learn the word for our students. For me, one of the most important things is that the students should personalize. When they write down the word, get them to write down a personalized sentence using something from their own experience. So if you're teaching the word happy, for example, get them to write the word in a sentence such as, I am happy when I do whatever. Personalize the word. Another thing is visualize the word. Get your students to draw pictures of the word. Not just name words like elephant, which is very easy to draw a picture of, but also things like idioms. I recently taught a class, I used some idioms with this advanced class using under the thumb, under the weather. And I got them to actually draw pictures of people under the thumb and under the weather. And they found it a very effective way of remembering the word. Also, get students to use mind maps. Get them to map out the word in not three dimensions, but a very visual representation of words. So you have the topic word, for example, animals, in the center, and then you have elephant, dog, cat, all around the center circle. I think it was Michael Lewis that said, students' notebooks often look like cemeteries. Everything's in a straight line. Things go in there, but never come out. Obviously, the goal of vocabulary learning is to get things to come out so the students can actually use them. Okay, the final section I'm going to talk about connected with vocabulary is reviewing words. What can teachers actually do to review words? Well, there are various games and activities. One way of reviewing lexical sets is by using a game called Stop. Here, you just write on the board in columns, the headings of the lexical set that you've been teaching. For example, animals, food, places, jobs. The students copy this down, then you give them a letter, for example, S. The students in groups have to think of an animal beginning with S, snake, job beginning with S, secretary, etc., etc. When they've completed their table with that letter, they shout, stop, and then they win the point if they get it all correct. That's a good way of reviewing words. Another way is what I call backs to the board. You have three students together. One of them sits with her back to the board, or she closes her eyes. The teacher writes the target word on the board, and the two other students in the group have to describe the word until she gets it. So it's a nice little game to review vocabulary. A final one, a way to review collocation, is what I call gap reading. So once the student has read the text and knows the text, the teacher reads it but leaves gaps for the students to shout out. So for example, you could read, once upon a, and then the students would shout out, time. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess who lived. Then you leave your pause, and the students will say, in. So this is what I call gap reading. Very good for reviewing collocations. A final way of reviewing words is using a vocabulary box. How does this work? Well, what you do is you put all the new words on a little piece of card. You write them on an individual piece of card. You keep the cards in your vocabulary box and review them every week or two. You just give the students the cards and they test each other. They say the word, the other puts it in a sentence. So, those are three aspects of vocabulary. Knowing a word, remembering a word, and reviewing a word. The fourth one, and the final one I'm going to mention, is acquiring vocabulary separately. How can students do this? Well, of course, the best way is by reading and doing what I call flood reading. Basically, the students choose a topic that they're interested in, then they read everything they can about it. They go onto the internet, magazines, books, and they flood read. And what will happen is they will see the same words and expressions appearing again and again and again. It's what I call a flood of input, and it's a great way to acquire vocabulary.